Hi there. Oh, sorry. Welcome to When the Kids Go Down. I'm in a really good mood and I don't know why exactly. And it is late at night and I haven't had any extra caffeine today except for my quad shot espresso. So I don't really understand where this energy is coming from. I did have a friend come over later and the kids and I got some like outdoors water in the sun before bedtime. So I don't know if that like re-energized me. But no complaints because we're in a great mood. Although I will say that I tend to get a little bit whispery at night. Oh, not my voice going away. I get a little bit quieter just because I don't want to wake up the children, but like also they have like a sound machine that's pretty loud. So I don't think like I know they can't hear me because there's days where like they wake up and I go put them back to sleep and we're like watching a movie or something or a show and it's still playing and it's loud and I can't hear it when I'm in there with them. So before I jump into today's episode, I do need to make like a correction. I don't know if if this is even something that needs to be corrected, but if I said Suzanne Clark instead of Susanna Clark for Pierre Nisi, then my apologies because the author is Susanna Clark. I had the book in front of me. I even grabbed it and picked it up, but I've also been back on my Hunger Games train, so I don't know if I said Suzanne, but it's Susanna with two N's. Also, don't know if I'm supposed to say Piranesi or Piranesi. And yes, I am listening to the audio version as I read through it and annotate on my own. So I don't know why I'm still confused on that, but I have heard it said like different ways, but I don't know. So, anyways, my bad on the name, if that was even something that needed to be corrected. Let's talk about my current reads real quick. So, I finished All Systems Red. It's called All Systems Red, Diaries. Hold on, I have it written down. Why am I trying to remember everything? All Systems Red, Diaries of a Murder Bot. He calls himself a murder bot. I don't think I wrote it down. Okay, I think it's All Systems Red, The Diaries of a Murder Bot, or The Murder Bot Diaries. It's called The Murder Bot Diaries, like in quotations, not quotations, sorry, in parentheses. So in All Systems Red, we see consciousness through artificial intelligence in a future where corporations dominate space travel. So the story follows a self-aware security android nicknamed Murderbot that hacks into its governor module and becomes scornful of humans. Thank you, Wikipedia, because that's where I got it from. A very sassy robot. I love this robot so much. He gives like Dr. House vibes. He's so cute. It's a 7-book series, but they're all like pretty, like 150, 160 pages, I believe. I think it's a larger series, and the Murderbot Diaries are like the first 3 books or something. I don't know. I didn't even know it was a series. I was talking about this the other day, how I pick up books that are series on accident, and then suddenly I'm in a series of a series of a series. So, anyways, 7 books, but they're all fairly like tangible, like digestible. So I'm on, oh, and there's like a point, like a prequel, like a 0.5 book. So I'm on book 2 now, except I'm going to give it some time to breathe. I'll probably pick that up next month just because my TBR is overwhelming me because I checked out some books at the same time and now I have like 4 days to finish them and I have a busy weekend coming up and it's Memorial weekend and my husband has a 3-day weekend. So we're going to be like hanging out a lot. We have family coming in, and so like it's just gonna be a busy weekend. So probably some late nights of me staying up and reading because I gotta get these checked in, so I gotta get them read, you know? So update on the TBR. I have read Remarkably Bright Creatures. I am DNFing We Sold Our Souls for right now just because it hasn't like really spoken to me. Although I did see, because I was looking up like I know it's Kakawiwi, what the puppet says in How to Sell a Haunted House, but I wanted to make sure that I had the spelling right on Kakawiwi. So I looked it up and then I was on Reddit about the book. And then someone said that We Sold Our Souls is one of their favorites. And so I may give it another shot. It's just like not really grabbing my attention right now. I didn't end up reading the graphic audio of Red Rising. I'll just probably dive into that later because, again, that one's a series. I don't want to get into another series, but I will be entering my sci-fi area pretty soon because I have been just feeling gravitated towards that. So we're going to enter that soon. Probably next month, we'll do a lot more sci-fi. When the Moon Hatched, I have started reading, and there's a lot of poopy talk so far, like literally poopy and turds. So that's interesting. People We Meet on Vacation, I did purchase, and so I have been reading that. We'll most likely be finished with that next week, or by the end of this weekend. But that one, it's not something I have to return. So I should put that one on hold because I need to get to my returns. That one is something that I own. Finished The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, and then Ryan and I watched the movie, but I'll get into that in a little bit because I'm going to do a weekly report. So are reading People We Meet on Vacation by Emily Henry is what I've been reading. I've been loving it so far. It jumps back and forth from different vacations to the present time, and so that's not very, it's not confusing the way it's done, but there's like a secret right now, and I want to know the secret, and I'm not very good at being patient. So it's testing me. I am going to try to romanticize mosquitoes because of something I read in this book where she was talking about like coming out. It's, she's on like this. She's on many vacations in this book, but there's one in particular where it's like rainy and she's at this like dingy dive bar and she steps out in somewhere. It's hot. I don't know. I just remember she was saying that something about like she made mosquitoes sound quaint. Like she was very much in the moment and she just said something about like the mosquitoes. I don't even know. I don't even know. I should have annotated it because the way that she described like running into a mosquito was just like, ugh, this pesky mosquito. Like, and it made it seem sweet. And I was like, yeah, why the fuck do I get so bothered by mosquitoes? Like, I mean, I get it. They're like, you're up itching your legs for like hours at night and you can't sleep, but like, just put some fucking lotion on it, you know? So I'm gonna try to like really, what do you call it? Like, relax into discomfort because like, that's just trying to, I'm just trying to be mindful and enjoy outside during the summer and spring. Mosquitoes are kind of like inevitable and they're just starting to pop up. And I got a big one on my thumb today, but like I killed it. They kind of freak me out too because like they're needles and they're taking your blood from you. But you know how you can romanticize them is some natural repellents. So citronella, lemon and eucalyptus, lavender, tea tree and also cinnamon oil, I heard. So I don't know how accurate the cinnamon oil one is, but I love cinnamon. It's like my favorite spice ever. I will put cinnamon. I actually had that today in my quad shot. I got a quad shot with cinnamon syrup and cinnamon powder on top. And let me tell you, they fucking went in on that cinnamon powder and it was amazing. I just put some milk in that and I'm good. It's essentially like an iced Americano. It's just less water because I don't know, it's more ice and I like more ice. So that's what I get. But anyways, a citronella candle or some fresh leaves outside. And then mint is like a insect repellent. So putting some like fresh mint outside and some like incense of lavender and lemon, eucalyptus, maybe a eucalyptus plant, just something to like kill. In a romantic way to kill your bugs and mosquitoes and also enjoy nature while not enjoying that part of nature. So we're romanticizing our summers. We're romanticizing mosquitoes because of Emily Henry. Thank you, Emily Henry. E eating. Am I recording? Oh, thank God. Eating. So I've been eating dark chocolate because I got my fucking period, which I guess, you know, hooray for me for being a fertile woman, but I was craving some, I don't even think I was craving dark chocolate. I think I just got my period and then dark chocolate appeared in my home because of my husband. He got the sea salt one, which is delicious. So Lily's dark chocolate with sea salt. I didn't even ask for it, but here it was. Also, we're bringing back spinach because I understand that, like, during the greens era of like this, I'm talking like 2018, when everyone was trying to fucking eat kale from a bag, like a chip, you know? I ate a lot of spinach back then, and I just kind of stopped because it dies so quick, it wilts so quickly that you have to really like, and then it's not worth it to buy a fucking, you can buy a bag for like 250, or you can buy a big ass case for like, I don't know, 550. And so like it's just better to like it's like three times as much for a $2 more or something. I don't know. So I just like don't burn through it, and then it wilts, and then it stinks, and then it's in this big box, and you have to throw the whole box away, and then the trash stinks, so you have to throw the trash out, you know? And it's like for four leaves that stink up that big ass box, but like it becomes a hassle. So just fucking eat the spinach. The best thing with spinach, no fucking joke, no, I'm not kidding right now, peanut butter. Peanut butter, some kind of protein, I don't know, like vanilla protein or plain protein, unflavored, and then spinach, honey, even just water, some Greek yogurt, and peanut butter. Best shake ever, okay? There's this place, I think it's called Tropical Smoothie Cafe. We've been going there. Yeah, because there's a few smoothie places. So Tropical Smoothie Cafe, there's a peanut butter drink, and I add spinach, and it is delicious. It makes the drink. So spinach, peanut butter, best pairing. Also, Emily Henry, again, is infiltrating my entire summer, which includes my eating habits. So Emily Henry, just like the diet of her books, makes me feel like I want fish, I want lattes, I want shrimp, I want a lobster roll, but I'm in fucking Texas. I'm not gonna get a lobster roll unless I go to fucking Houston. And I'm not doing that for reasons of that shrimp is, I don't want to touch that water. So if I'm not going in that water, I'm not eating the shrimp that come out of that water. So probably not having any lobster rolls anytime soon, but that's what Emily Henry. She also gives me like acai bowl vibes, and I did get one the other day as I was reading People We Meet on Vacation. My husband, we I was having actually this was the day I got my period, so immediate everything made me cry. And then I couldn't like, I just couldn't talk because the second that I like look at his face and he's trying, his eyes like dart in around in my. They like pinball my eyes. Like he's trying to like figure out what's wrong to fix it. And he can't because it's just a period. Like he can't fix anything. And I can't tell him. I don't know. So I just start crying because he wants to help me and I can't talk. And I was crying a lot. Because the first day of the period. I have no idea. Like, and then I'm just, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why I get so emotional. But anyway, he's like, let's go grab smoothies. And I thought we were going to a drive-through one. So I'm literally like wearing my like 10-year-old Amazon like athletic shorts that do not fit and have been to the washer and they're like just not great material. So actually, now that I'm thinking about it, if they are like 10 years old, they're pretty great material, but they're like right up all the way. They're basically boxers, but they're tight. So their boxer briefs, I don't know. And then I was wearing a Gap tank top that's like dressier. So I just, the vibe was like literally like I forgot my pants at home. And he like pulls up and parks. And I was like, that, And so he was like, oh, I thought you knew that this wasn't the drive-thru one. And I was like, no, I thought you just got the name wrong. And I was, so anyway, it ended up being closed. And so we drove to another one and he went inside and I saw that they had acai bowls. So he got me an acai bowl. And while he was inside, it took like quite a while to make everyone shakes. And plus, there was like a line or whatever. So I got time to sit in the car and read. And then I had my acai bowl while I was reading this like very cozy summery vibed Emily Henry, and it just worked. So for that reason, acai bowls are part of the Emily Henry vibe. Also, eating foods that are in season is very summery and feels very Emily Henry again. So we're just like encompassing this feeling, or at least I am. So, you know, some strawberries, blueberries, raspberries, cherries, peaches, plums, watermelon, asparagus, carrots, beets, cabbage, cauliflower, just like that's what's in season right now. Cucumber, and spinach, tomatoes, very fresh, maybe a pasta salad, but you got to add shrimp. That's what makes it Emily Henry. You got to add the seafood. Okay, P, playing. Lots of Play-Doh. We've been making lots of basically just robots out of Play-Doh and pizza and croissants because I know how to make a croissant out of Play-Doh. So that's like all I do. And then my son's like, there's too many. So we just make robots. But we've been playing with Play-Doh like quite a bit, and it takes up like hours of our day, which is no complaints except for like when it gets left out. But then you just add water and it's fine. And as far as like music, a lot of Cigarettes and Sex, one of my favorite bands right now. And I ask our Google assistant all the time to play it. And I'm like, I don't know how Mika's going to repeat that. Cause he'll like a song and then he'll say like, hey, can you play this to our Google assistant? I'm not going to say its name cause it's going to play music. But yeah, I just don't know how I want him to say that. So, or if I do, but he's going to, because I listen to it all the time and he likes the songs and he'll ask me what the song's called. We've also been watching Game of Thrones. We're on episode 2, so no spoilers, just kidding. It's been out forever. But we never have gone past the first season. So we just restarted it. And we're on episode 2. It's very hard to watch because of how long it is and how tired we both are at the end of the day. And there's a million seasons and they're so long, but that's where we're at. So thumbs up to that. I don't know. We also watched Songbirds, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, and I cried at the same point that I cried in the book. So if you also cried, maybe it's at the same point that I cried. I don't want to ruin anything. I know it's been out since 2020, but I think that's like not enough time to justify ruining it, especially with people maybe trying to pick it up right now because of Sunrise at the Reaping coming out. So, well, not coming out, but the movie being like, you know, really soon or whatever. So no spoilers, but I cried at the same point in the movie that I did the book. And I just think that, what was his name? Choreo? First of all, love Choreo. Not the person, not Mr. Snow, but the name. His name's Coriolanus, and Choreo is his nickname. Why did he have to fucking ruin that name? Because I want to call my kid Choreo. Like, I want his name to be, I mean, I don't really know how, oh, fuck it, you know, who cares what your name is, modern day, whatever. Names are just like obsolete. Okay, it's getting late. But Choreo is a cute baby nickname or a kid nickname or whatever, family nickname, Choreo. I love it. It's the most like, I don't know, it's like PETA, like naming your kid PETA. It's kind of like already trademarked, you know, like PETA Malark is PETA Malark. And so if you name your kid PETA, they're either like defending a rabbit or eating the rabbit. So I don't know. I like Choreo, but I don't think I can like justify naming my kid that because he's a piece of shit. Like in the movie, I told Ryan, I was like, no, like in his head right now, he's so fucking prideful. In his head right now, she's a prize. Like he is so manipulative and he knows what he's fucking doing. He's like, if he could just get rid of his fucking ego, you know what he is? Choreo is, oh my God, I just fucking left my brain. Choreo is Mr. Darcy. If Mr. Darcy had never come over, worked through his Pride and Prejudice-ness, okay? That's who fucking Choreo is. if Mr. Darcy let his pride and prejudiceness, whatever, consume him and became a monster. That's who he is. I see the charm, but you gotta look past that because he doesn't fucking work through it. Oh, for report, because we're still in our fucking weekly report. Oh, obsessing. I've been obsessing with like having one, the Hunger Games, because not having the Hunger Games, let me be clear on that. I've been obsessing with the Hunger Games, which was number two, but I just read it, so I had to skip to it because I've been thinking about it a lot. But number one was a cozy patio. So I've been obsessing over having a cozy patio because when we moved into this house, looked at our front patio, which I have to burp one sec. I looked at our patio and it had like already two wicker chairs and a glass table. And I was like, God, I hope she leaves this because I don't want to have to buy a chair and table right now. She did leave it. And it's fine. It's cute. But like, I thought the vibe originally I was going to have like some, or not orange, what the fuck, some green IKEA tables, like bistro style, and make it like a little bistro out there. And have some string lights and then like you know what I'm talking about, like the Parisian bistro folding chairs, like the IKEA ones that are like, they're like metal, you know, and they have like fucking slants. I don't know. They just fold. They're folding chairs, but they're IKEA and they're colorful, or they're black, whatever. And then the same table that's like square. So I just thought, and that just seemed like uniform, but it's not a fucking bistro. It's my patio. And like, if I want to be out there with a slow morning cozy vibe, I always thought in the back of my head, like, that's not going to be very cozy. Like, that's going to hurt my butt. And I'm not going to like have anywhere to lift my feet up if I want to, if I have a guest over and they're sitting on the other chair, unless I move another chair over to me. But then that's not like very pretty. And like, it's just a bunch of furniture. So I always had like these saved photos of balconies where they had like cushiony tables outside. And I thought, or not tables, but like a cushioned bench pushed up against one side of the balcony on the corner. And essentially that's what our patio is. It's just on the ground level. So I thought, why don't I just like have a cozier setup with like a little nook, like a reading nook, but outside. And then still have string lights and maybe even still have like a section or like a coffee table. You know, it doesn't like make it like inside but outside instead of like a fucking bistro, because that's not going to be very cozy. So I'm trying to optimize like being realistic and also being comfortable, because why the fuck would I want, like, yeah, it's nice to have coffee with like someone come over and have a chair and table, but like, it's also nice to kick your feet up on the fucking couch, and you can have that. If you can have a couch and coffee table inside, and they make couches for outside and with coffee tables for outside, then why not do that? Especially because it's like such, it's in my home technically. It's like, well, it's outside my home, but like it's walled up, you know, it's like a covered patio. So like, I don't know. I'm just trying to like, I just don't know why my brain immediately went to like, how could we organize it into a bistro as if we were a Parisian? So I think cozier is what I want, and I'm going to vibe with that. R, recommending B12 and just B vitamins in general, because I think they're overlooked, how they make red blood cells, and they give that food, they convert your food into energy to help your brain like cell function. To help your brain cells function, which we know that I need. And I'm not kidding. When I take my B12, like my gummies, I have like these Ollie B12 gummies. When I take those on top of like an energy drink, I suddenly don't feel like jittery. And maybe it's placebo, but it works. Okay. So, and also like I have been told by doctors that I need to like add B12 into my diet or B vitamins. And it helps. It really does. I don't really feel like I have attention issues. I just get overwhelmed with like, with, especially when things are like cluttered. So like if my countertops are cluttered, or like there's a bunch of toys on the floor, or like my bookshelf is kind of like fucked up from just like putting books on there and it's like all disorganized, just like all of those at once hits me really hard. But if I take a B12 gummy which I take them regularly, and then I have my multivitamin with my omega-3 or whatever. But when I add that extra, like B12, I don't know, again, if it's placebo, but I feel like it helps me focus. And suddenly, like, I can dissect 1, 2, 3 problem and fix 1, 2, 3 problem. And it's not just like this whole number of issues. Does that make sense? I don't know how to better explain that, but I think you should take some B12 gummies. So that's what I'm recommending. Tea, treating, honestly, treating myself way too much to too many snacks. The other day, I let Mika kind of go ham at the grocery store and just tell me what he wanted. I don't know. He just like knows where his favorite snacks are. And so he kind of put them all in the cart. And so we treated. It was like one of those grocery trips where you spend upwards of $40 and you don't have dinner because you just got potato chips and whatever else. Hey, fruit and a drink and like a peanut butter bar or something, whatever sounded good. So it was one of those days. And I've been doing that a little bit too much. So I have also been treating myself to, I will be treating myself to some macarons, French macarons. Yeah. Tomorrow. I'm going to go get some for my niece, for her birthday coming up, and I will be also enjoying some. I wish that we had this farmer's market that, it's like in the Dallas area. They have one that's Fruit Loops. I believe you can order them, but like, I didn't think about it. So anyway, they are like Fruit Looped or like my favorite, like Fruity Pebble macarons. You know, how American of me to like take a French pastry and add cereal to it. A colorful, deliciously sugary cereal. But I mean, they're so fucking good. So I'm going to get some of those. And then I also saw that they had like birthday cake mochi. So really I'm treating the children in my life, my niece and my son, basically. And I also have been like getting green teas and honey quite a bit. Like I have been trying to cut down on my energy drinks because for some fucking reason I started to pick those up every day now. So I needed to cut down, and I replaced that with green tea and honey, but it doesn't like, it cuts down on the caffeine, but not the wallet, because now I'm going on getting like a large green tea with honey every day. So a win is a win, I guess. Okay. That's the weekly report. All right, so I wanted to talk a little bit about my reading evolution in this episode. I almost said in this story. So I have always read, but my brother was definitely more of the reader growing up. He like was encouraged to read books from a young age, and I was encouraged to play with Barbies. I don't know. I don't really think that I existed to my parents until I was like 10. So I don't know. I don't know much about my childhood before that age or whatever, but my brother like picked up books easily, and I had a hard time. And then I found out when I went to school that I had dyslexia. And so I was put into like a separate area. You've heard the story before. And so I would like for reading, I would have like a separate class and whatever, we would work on it and my writing. And so, but I still really loved it. And I remember that the first book that I was forced read was Winn Dixie, because my teacher like got really fed up with me. She got really mad at me for checking out multiple books at a time and not finishing them. So she forced me to finish Winn Dixie before I returned it, which like she didn't even have like cause, I mean, or reason, because like it's because I hate her. That's what she said. She didn't really have a reason, because I wasn't getting like tested on it. She just like was annoyed by me. So my parents were, instead of being like, what the fuck? They were just like, you better finish this fucking book. And so I cried all night with my dad and finished the book, whatever, but I loved it. And I thought it was a really good book. And then I watched the movie and I was like, the book was better. I can say that now because I read a fucking book. And I don't know, I had some like, but I really had like a fascination with like, I also, hold on. Okay. We're going too many places. Let's focus. Let's be 12 focus. So I was really into pharaohs, you know? And so I would like read a bunch of these pharaoh and Egyptian books, and travel books on Egypt, but they were like all kind of like very digestible, lots of pictures and smaller, typically like a lot of photos. So not, they weren't like really crazy. And also I was like not allowed to read a bunch of books because like Babysitter's Club, or I read some Judy B. Jones, but like not a ton because it wasn't like my fancy. And then because I wasn't really like, I don't know, I wasn't like encouraged to read. I was forced to. And so that was like a whole thing. I liked scary things, but I wasn't allowed to read those. And I also really liked, I was into Harry Potter, but like I wasn't, again, allowed to read that. So I don't know. Hello again. I was recording and then I got cut off. And so I had to restart again. But you probably wouldn't have noticed that if I didn't tell you anything, except I thought maybe the energy would be different because it is a different time of day now. So if it is, then that is why. Where we left off, I was not allowed to read Harry Potter. And a lot of kids weren't allowed to read Harry Potter, but I was so sheltered that I thought we were the only cult maniac people that lived. So when people would ask me like why I didn't check out Harry Potter, or like we would talk about it in class, I would just be like, I don't really like wizards. Like I don't I would just like act like I didn't care about it, when I deeply cared about it. Because I thought like no one had religious parents like I did. I was old enough to know that it wasn't normal to live the way that we lived, but I also thought it was so, I don't know, such a unique experience that no one lived this way, which not a lot, I mean, it's not normal, but it's also sadly, it's like kind of a, not normal. It's more common than you think. That being said, I also had a friend who grew up like in a very religious household, and he was the one who used to read Goosebumps to us. He would get it checked out from the library, and then during like our reading time in class, or like Dear Day when we would get to read all day, he would like read it to us to freak us out. And I just remember he was just like one of the most outwardly like religious kids, which is weird because we were like all kids. Like this is like fourth grade when he was talking about this, but it's just so funny. I don't know how you really do mimic what is in your household. But at the same time, he was just like his own little person. And he loved to just like read those books to us and freak us out. And it was the cutest thing. So that being said, all of the media that was brought into our home was heavily like controlled. And so I wasn't like really into, a lot of you guys said dystopian or like Twilight. So that was the era at the time, was just like The Maze Runner, which I'm just now like starting to read. Hunger Games was when I Hunger Games, when did that come out? I can't think about when the book came out. I know the movie came out when I had just graduated high school, and I was working. 2012 was like a crazy year. My brother and I didn't really grow up with like book fair money, but there was one book that I do remember getting. I just remember it came with like an emerald ring, and it was about this emerald princess. I can't find the book to save my life, but it made me fall in love with emerald rings to the point where I was like, when I get married, I'm gonna have an emerald stone ring. I don't know if I still want that, although I do have an emerald ring that like my mom bought me for like graduation because I didn't want like a class ring, and so she bought me a little emerald ring, which is really nice of her. But anyways, I didn't grow up with like book fair money, so I didn't really get any books at the book fair. And because everything was so like regulated on what we brought in, because my, I don't know, they just didn't want us reading about like anything that wasn't, That being said, it did change when my brother started working. When my brother started making his own money, it just more and more stuff was brought into the house that was like taboo or whatever. Not taboo, but and it wasn't even like second guessed. So it was, it's kind of weird. I don't know. That's just Ari's trauma, I guess. I don't know. But anyways, he like would bring home books, and he would buy books and movies, and we often shared books. And so if he liked a book, or he would buy me a book, my parents didn't ever really think twice about it. I even think like if he were to have brought home Harry Potter, that it wouldn't have been looked at twice. I don't know. He never did. He did the movies, but whatever. So when he started making his own money, we would just like share books and he would buy me stuff. And then I got really into classics because my brother was really into classics. I believe he was the one who showed me The Catcher in the Rye, which is one of my first classics. I was also really into Fitzgerald. Honestly, I'm not going to lie. It's probably because of the name, because I just loved anything old-timey. I went through like a very heavy like Rat Pack era. I was really into the Rat Pack and New York and Twiggy and Andy Warhol and Basquiat. So I was, that's all art stuff, like in model, whatever. I was just like really into that scene and that time. And so, I don't know. I was just like the name Fitzgerald, you know, I was like, tell me more about this. And so I started to read some F. Scott Fitzgerald and got really into that. And I was just like super into classics. And my reasoning was that classics were almost like always going to be vouched for because that's why they were a classic. So I was like, I was very scared to like get, I was going to say balls deep, but like get balls deep into a book and then it'd be like horrid. And I don't know, I didn't like have much money to spare. So I just didn't want to read something that I hated. I fell in love with J.D. Salinger's writing style. And so I would basically only read J.D. Salinger. And then I started to venture into some nonfiction, mainly because, again, of my brother and his, like, influence. And he read Fight Club by Chuck Palahniuk. And so I read Fight Club by Chuck Palahniuk because, again, I wasn't making my own money yet. I was just a teenager. And I would just read the books after he was done with them. And so I got really into Chuck Palahniuk. And then I got kind of scared that, like, I wasn't going to like any other author besides, because I was so, I don't know, I was just like, okay, so what's close to Chuck Palahniuk? And then I found Kurt Vonnegut, and so I started reading more of his stuff, and I didn't really want to stray from that type of writing. Then I got into Jack Kerouac, and I just started to read like mainly classics and male writers who, wrote the same way or kind of as all of these male authors like Salinger and Kerouac and Vonnegut and whoever else I just said, Fitzgerald, like something kind of all within the same scope of that, because they were all a little similar, although I do say that J.D. Salinger's writing is just, it's like perfect brain dump that makes sense. Like he has a way of like just brain dumping in a very formal way. I don't know. So I read a lot of that. I started to read books like Little Woman. And like I had said before, I never read The Bell Jar until this year because of, I don't know. I just thought like, I don't know. I was scared of it. And so that was like kind of like my brother's imprint. I don't know. His, what am I trying to say? His influence on me was, you know, all that. So when I started to, I had a bookstore in our hometown that everyone loved to go to, and sadly it closed down, but I was able to like explore more. I mean, we were kind of like dropped off. It was in a shopping center. And so I hung out with my aunt a lot, who's only like a year older than me or something, 1 or 2 years, I don't know. But we were dropped off a lot at the shopping center. And my grandfather, which is her dad, also loved books. And they had a coffee stand. And so he would just go there and drink coffee and read all day. And so we would just go with him, or we would just get dropped off there and hang out. And so like for hours, we would just be at this bookstore. And I explored a lot. And so I got really into poetry because I could read through the books very quickly because it's, you know, only a few lines per page. And there's this poet called Javan, Javan. And I would just read his books. They were like $5, which was like another selling point for me, is that they were so cheap. And so I would buy a bunch of his books, even like getting them ordered from there. They didn't have like a shipping price or anything, because sometimes they would like have one or two of his books, and then we would look on. They had like a computer where you can scroll like their online category and order books, and then it would come in, and you know, you didn't have to pay for shipping because it would go directly to the store. So I would get I was really into that like type of poetry, which is just like very simply put, like love poetry. I got really into Pablo Neruda, and then I just got really into poetry. I read a lot of Bukowski, and I at one point, Love is a Dog from Hell. I used to dog ear every single book. Like I dog eared like nothing, because I didn't have money for like highlighters and tabs to annotate. So I dog eared. Like I went old school, and I remember that my brother borrowed that, and I went like he asked if he could borrow my Bukowski book, and I was like kind of embarrassed at what I had dog-eared because you know Bukowski can be like sexual, and I don't know. I like undog-eared, although you could tell what was previously dog-eared, and I don't know what I was trying to play it off as if like the ear just folded on its own as I placed it into my bag. So I let him borrow that with all my reverse dog ears and never said anything about it, so that's fine. But anyway, I got really into poetry for a while, and then I went through like a big Dante phase, and so I was into that. It's not I'm still into that. But I just remember that like that was specifically around the time that Ryan and I started dating because he also read Dante's Inferno with me. And then, yeah, so we did that. I'm trying to think back. I don't know. I was just like super into classics still. And I also remember when Fault in Our Stars came out, the movie, and then I cried and I wanted to read the book. And John Green was like super big on YouTube, you know? He did his whole like, I don't know, what were they? He did like weird facts or something or like random facts. I used to love watching that. So I really like John Green. I liked his movies a lot, and so I would just oh, and then I Odd Thomas. So the Odd Thomas movie came out, and I got really into those books, and so I was just like starting to kind of get back into what maybe I would have read as a teenager, as an older teenager, just because like I didn't get that opportunity when I was younger. So I started reading like a lot of John Green, and at that point I did get a Kindle, and so a Kindle. So I was reading John Green, and then because I had a Kindle and you couldn't see what I was reading, I started to buy more horror books, and so I got like H.P. Lovecraft, which yeah, and also who wrote A House? What is it? The Haunting of Hill House. I started reading that. And then I would just get anything that was like, you know, not I could hide the cover of. And so a bunch of like horror books. But I was still into, I think my side, I was really into horror from like a very young age. I just liked scary things. But I also am, I was super girly and my brother wasn't out buying John Green or poetry. Well, he was buying poetry, but I feel like that was my influence on him, maybe not. My brother and I were also like just very nerdy growing up, so into like comics and Doctor Who and movies and TV, lots of TV. And so we did love like the dark fantasy movies of the 80s, and I always loved Star Wars and what else am I trying to say? Oh, Lord of the Rings. I just didn't think those books would be digestible, like they're so big, and I thought that I wouldn't, you know, like you get scared of a book. You're like, I'm not going to understand the words. I'm not going to understand what's happening 100 pages in. I'm going to be lost until the end. And yes, it like all will make sense later. But I think you should just like continue on reading. Now I do anyway. So you should just continue on reading even if it doesn't make sense until it does. But back then, I was just like kind of scared to get into it, and so I didn't. So I didn't read those books, although I grew up watching like Lord of the Rings because it was my dad's like favorite movie, which is so funny how those like folklore is just like some I don't know, it's just like what they bend the rules for, right? So like Gandalf was fine, but like Hagrid wasn't. I don't know why that was such a thing. I'm pretty sure like a lot of religious parents were that way, where they're like, no, Lord of the Rings is fine, but like not Harry Potter. And like obviously I was allowed to watch Narnia, and so that was like something that we got into. But anyway, I didn't see those books as anything like digestible because they were so big and lengthy and there's so many of them, and I don't know, so we just like would watch the movies or whatever. And then I mainly read classics up until and Polanek and just like different types of fiction like that. I don't know. And then I've always been, I don't know why, but I was like signed up for a book of, I don't, was it Book of the Month? I don't know if it was Book of the Month, but it was like, it don't, because Book of the Month will send you emails and they're like, you know, these are the books that you can choose from this month. This one was like an award of like what won like best horror. I don't know. I'll have to go back, but through my emails and see what I was getting sent. But anyway, I remember that I got The Chestnut Man as like a suggestion of like the best thriller horror. And so I picked The Chestnut Man up and I ended up, I loved the cover of it. And then it was a Norwegian author and I just love Norway. And so I was like, okay, let's read this horror book based in Norway. And, or it's actually in, sorry, Denmark. And I loved it. And so is he a Danish? Because I know I'm, no, I think he's Norwegian. Anyway, I started reading like more and more, just branching out. And I would honestly not go by anything that I, any, like if it had like 3 stars or less, like I was out because I was just like, I don't want to hate this book. So I would mainly go by whatever like Book of the Month was, not Book of the Month, it was something else. It was like a whatever award won this month or whatever was the most read. And I would just like go into that. And so I don't know. So that's all that I was reading. And then I don't know if I got on BookTok or if it was from Instagram or maybe even my girl Bethany Ciatola recommended it, but I started reading ACOTAR. And then my sister-in-law and I read that together. That was like our buddy read. And so we read ACOTAR and then I got like less afraid of other books that I just was like ready to give anything a shot. And even if I didn't like it, I loved the experience of reading. And so from ACOTAR, I read Jennifer L. Armentrout's From Blood and Ash series. And the first two, three books. First two books, amazing. And then after that, I just felt like they kept repeating themselves. And I don't even know if you can call a DNF on the last book because I'm not even picking it up because I'm just so kind of fed up with having to reread the same story over and over. But the first two books I have been like, have been on my mind. Like, I want to reread them so bad. And if you have not read the From Blood and Ash series, I do recommend it, but I don't recommend it past like a War of Two Queens, or maybe even just like you don't have to read that one. I don't know. So I but yeah, so I started reading more like fantasy and more modern like books and more new releases, and then I now am just like into, I don't know, everything, and I'm not really afraid to like read a book that I may hate later. And that's kind of where we're at. When I was younger, I did say that I wanted to read every classic. I don't know why that was like such a goal of mine, maybe. I don't know. And so I still kind of want to do that. I do think it's important to read all the big classics, especially because, you know, where I live in Texas, we don't even like, I've mentioned this before, but a lot of my English teachers, I think I only had one or I had two English teachers that I can remember that weren't coaches and had an English degree and weren't like only there to fill up space. One of them hated me with a passion. I don't know why. And she loved to talk about how tiny she was and how big and broady like her husband was. So I don't know. I did not like her because it was, I, again, like she mentioned how she looked like us in high school because she was so tiny she could be a high schooler. It was weird. It was a weird thing. So I didn't like her.
And maybe she didn't like me because I didn't like her. I don't know. And then we had another teacher who would 100% be making thirst traps if he were a teacher now, as and looked the way he looked then. And we all had like crushes on him in like 7th grade, and it seemed like he kind of played into that, which is now weird, but back then we were like, ah! So that, but he was actually like, he was really into teaching and books, and he had like a very 90s like haircut, like the whole swooshy bang thing parted in the middle. And he dressed very 2000s or whatever. And I don't know, it was just, he was a vibe. And unfortunately, we didn't understand until we were older what kind of vibe that was. But I don't think that our public education system is doing enough as far as educating, especially with like, I don't know. I just think that your job as an educator should be to explore and teach without biases. Obviously, we all have, but I don't think that the default should just be to go to, I don't understand what books are out there, so I'm just going to go to the approved list that our government has sent us, print out a lesson plan, and then have them write a paragraph on a chapter and then check it off as they fail pass. I think a big reason why people feel so lost in their 20s is because of how sheltered we can be in our own homes and how fearful we may be to explore and how set back we may feel because of how we were brought up. Without understanding what else can be out there as far as human connection or opportunities or culture and other human experiences, we fall back into whatever default was presented to us in our homes. Then our public school systems are just reading the same books to us over and over, and it's not even really something that is being explored. It's just like, read this paragraph, turn it in on an approved list of books, because God forbid that we have a book that says God forbid or mental health or sexual experiences, because if you don't talk about it, it doesn't exist, right? When mental health issues or issues of sex, like sexual violence or just exploration in general, are not talked about in the home and they're actually pushed away or shamed, public school systems also don't not just discourage this, but actually ban it from being taught, or not even taught. You don't have to lecture anyone on the like mental health issues were presented in the bell jar, but if someone were to just have it available to them, maybe they would be able to understand themselves more. So not only is that being deemed inappropriate and regulated, you may grow up in a household like I did where the material that you brought into the home was also being regulated and controlled. So of course you're going to feel lost in your 20s when you finally are able to kind of escape that. And now feel completely lost because you have all of these, the whole world opens back up to you, except you were never allowed to see it. So you don't quite understand what it is. Anyways, yeah. Okay. Read books, read everything you can, and buy yourself a Kindle at a young age so no one knows what the fuck you're reading. I hope you have a great week. I will see you back next week. And that's all. Bye.